Hey, it's Citizen Cosmos. We're Sergeant Anna and we discover Cosmos by chatting with awesome people from various teams within the Cosmos ecosystem and the community. Join us if you are curious how dreams and ambitions become code.
Yeah, hey everyone. And today we have with us, yes, Adriana Mihai, who is Cosmos Community Advocate. She's also the person that started Today in Cosmos, which probably everybody knows. I think whoever doesn't know that should check it out right now. And she's also the founder of the Kalpatech Validator. Adriana, please tell us about yourself a little bit. Maybe I missed something out.
Hello there. So happy to be here. And thank you so much for your invitation. This is actually my first interview. So I'm a little bit of nervous, but hopefully this will turn out to be just perfect. Okay, so about me. I joined CryptoSpace somewhere around 2015, late November. I was working in the bank. I was a corporate loan manager at that time. I had a client, which is actually the founder of Doggia Capital, who made me a very interesting project proposal to found what was back then Ethereum blockchain factory. It's a George Brailoyu. And he's actually the one that introduced the drug into my system, into the whole blockchain world. I only knew about Bitcoin at that time, but not so much information. But because I had to study the project and to make the executive memo for the head office to propose the funding on this project, I had to really dig in into what the technology at that time was. And by searching all of this information, I somehow ended up being in love with the technology and the crypto space. And as soon as the drug came in, I was already hooked up. And the decision to invest came somehow naturally. This is like my crypto story, how it all began, let's say. And when the Cosmos fundraiser started in April, I was already in this space for a while now. So it was very easy for me to understand the project and to make a decision to invest. Because I bought my first Ethereum somewhere around March 2016. And since then, I have been like following the market very closely and everything. And all this experience helped me in understanding the project and realizing it was one of the best projects at that time.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, this is how it all started.
So let me just ask, are you referring to Aurel, right? Am I correct?
Aurel was working at Doggia at that point. The founder of Doggia is Mr. George Brailoyu. I actually got to know Aurel later in time because Mr. Brailoyu was the actually client of my corporate division and he was the first person which I met. I met Aurel when I decided to invest and to buy my first Ethereum. I needed his help with setting up the wallet and everything. So I went to the office. I remember back then I bought a computer, a very nice new computer, just to make sure that I do it right. And I went to the office and I stayed with Aurel like 6 or 8 hours because something was like, I didn't have enough memory because I was getting this small laptop and I didn't have enough memory to install everything. So it was really challenging for us, but we finally did it. And that was the time when I bought my first Ethereum.
It was in 2016, yeah?
Yes, it was March 2016.
So let me ask you a question. How many I've been in blockchain since about 2011 or 12 or something like this. And I know this for sure. Everybody who is in blockchain more than 3 years loses keys. Have you lost any of your keys so far?
No, God.
That's really good. That's a good job. That means you're doing very well. Don't lose any because it's a very common thing that happens to everybody. The more you do it, the more wallets you have, the more cold wallets, the more seed phrases, eventually somewhere you forget something and that always happens. So I'm really glad you haven't lost it.
Thank God this didn't happen. Actually, to just add to this a bit, when we participated in the Cosmos fundraiser and we got the seed, I actually put the seed key in 3-4 places just to make sure that I don't lose it. And even so, I was so nervous when we had to actually claim the items. And I was so nervous, like, will it pass? Is everything okay? Did someone steal my seed phrase or not? Yeah.
So you didn't say the why Cosmos. You did tell the story. But, I mean, what attracted you to Cosmos and, for example, not to any of the other projects that came out in 2016?
As I told you, I was already in the blockchain space for a while now. And I started reading Cosmos white paper somewhere around March 2017. And at that time, I was already asking myself all these questions, like, we have all these blockchains, right? And every blockchain is doing something. And every blockchain is an addition to our space. Every blockchain resolves a problem. But what do you do when you have all these blockchains and you have all these problems, and sometimes that you'll need to work with more blockchains in order to achieve a certain result, right? And I was putting myself this question, how will it be resolved? And then when I read the Cosmos white paper, it became so easy for me to understand that we have a technology that allows all these blockchains that are acting individually until now to be able to connect and to be able to speak with one another and to be able to transfer information. And I honestly thought at that time, this is what the crypto space actually needs in order for the technology to get adopted in the real world. This is why Cosmos.
Sounds great. I mean, we heard about Tendermint, I think, yeah, pretty much the same time as you, so 2015, and kind of fell in love in it. So it was love from first sight. When you got into Cosmos, obviously you said you had to claim atoms and everything. And the launch of Cosmos was one of the first decentralized launches we've seen in the blockchain space. And obviously I'm referring to Game of Stakes here. And I know that you were one of the winners, right, of Game of Stakes, am I correct?
Yes, true.
So tell us a little bit about that. I mean, well, at least for you, how was Game of Stakes? Let's skip to that.
What I could say is that for me, Game of Stakes was a chance for me to see how the community worked together to make sure this project will be a success. I never realized for the entire contest that we are actually incentivized testnet in a competition, which had real stake in play. And because everyone was helping one another, and we had this sort of cooperation, which I haven't seen in any space. And somehow the success of one became the success of others. And I see that this sentiment has also been, drawn along the way in the Cosmos ecosystem. And I'm really glad this happened, because I honestly believe that only through cooperation and mutual help, a community like this can actually thrive. And it was very hard at first. It was a very hard testnet. We had like almost 3 months of testing. We had 6 upgrades, continuous changes brought to the infrastructure, to live attacks, sleepless nights. Oh my God, sleepless nights. We were making turns. We were 3 people watching the validator. And even though we had the alarms and notifications and everything, we were actually making turns, you know, everyone had a shift.
So, but did you already quit the bank by that?
I was still working at the bank.
Oh my God.
I was trying to get the shift, which was actually after I was finishing the banking program, because I also had to sleep because I had to wake up the next day. But yeah, it was like very challenging. Seeing how it all turned out, I honestly believe that Cosmos will not be today what it is if it wasn't for Game of Stakes. Because it had a way to bring everyone together, form a community, and make us like really strong to be able to test the time and everything. And we didn't know that we are going to actually be like mainnet participants. We just wanted to see how the system is working and just try it on for ourselves, because we were waiting for 2 years for the mainnet to launch, and we couldn't be more anxious to see how it works. And we said, like, well, we have to see how it works, so we joined Game of Stakes. once you had this drug, I cannot really explain it, but once you have this drug in your system, it was so hard to not join the mainnet because we were already there. Everyone, it was like a party. Everyone was sharing the Genesis file and everything. And we had to get in, even though we don't have much stake. And even though we'll be pulled out of the validator state at some point, we said that we have to try. Actually, it was like the best decision ever, because after that, we received some delegations from the foundation and Tendermint that helped us sustain the validator. So really grateful for that.
Sounds awesome. I know a lot of people who participated in it personally, and I know everybody who is took a part in it says exactly what you say. I've never heard anyone say anything bad about it. I've never heard, you know, anyone say, oh my God, Tendermint should have done it differently. If there was one thing that would have, you think, should have been done differently, and I'm not talking in terms of the validator that you set up, I'm talking in terms of how Game of Stakes was organized. Obviously, you spent so much time, and not just time, your own yourself. I mean, you just described sleepless nights and everything. Would you say that there was something could have been changed to organize the testing better or differently, at least?
Well, of course. I mean, Game of Stakes was the first incentivized testnet of its kind that was done at such a large scale in the crypto world. We had over 200 participants, and all of this, what happened was kind of new also to us as a company and to everyone in the space. So we had to adapt along the way to see what the best solutions are. And now looking back, of course, there are things which could have been done better because you experienced them and saw that there is a lot of room for improvement. For example, communication regarding prizes and how we will define the winners and what are the exact challenges and what are the exact points that you get based on the challenges. So definitely a little bit of improvement in the communication. Also, tutorials and guides would have been more helpful for us to be able to work, let's say, easier and not bump our head every time we had to do something. But this was also the beauty of the game, the fact that we had to improvise, the fact that no one told us exactly what setup to adopt or told us exactly what to do, made us to be very creative. And that was like the beauty of the game.
Speaking about creativity, when you quit your bank job, are you still working there?
No, I'm not.
Now you have your own bank.
I have my own crypto bank. Well, I quit my corporate bank in September 2019 when I joined Tendermint. I had been working in a bank for like 12 years. I was a corporate sales director in corporate finance and responsible for everything from increasing the loan, the corporate loan division, finding eligible clients, creating credit proposals, negotiating credit offers, writing executive summaries, and all that goes into corporate finance, let's say. And even though banking and corporate finance has been my life work and passion and love, once I discovered the blockchain world, everything shifted. I mean, banking somehow started to be on the second position, and I was getting more and more interested in the blockchain. So when I finally was offered a job by Tendermint in September, the shift and the decision came so naturally. There was no room for hesitation for me.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. I mean, coming to the dark side is always better than I'm joking, but it's cool because I know exactly what you're talking about, and I know that shift doesn't come easy for most people. And I remember in 2016, early 2016, we were launching one of our first projects, Golos, and which was a social network on the blockchain. We had the developers that we, obviously we offered them jobs, and back then nobody knew what blockchain was. And, you know, when you would have told them you work for a blockchain project, they were like, oh my God, what is this? Coming back to you, obviously, you said you worked as an executive and you said you did so much around evolving around finances and so on and so forth. And from here, I would like to make the shift to Kalpatech, the validator that you still running. And I thought for some reason, now don't ask me why, but in my head I kind of just imagined Adriana is Kalpatek and it's one person. But obviously there is a team. Tell me about Kalpatek, about the validator, what your plans, guys? Why should people delegate to you and all the story?
Kalpatek has three members. It's me, it's George, who has also been a fundraiser participant, and Simi, who is our lead developer, joining us in 2019 in preparation for the Game of Stakes. So we are a small team of three people, but definitely plan to extend the team depending on the opportunities that will come on the market. What I can say about Kalpatek is that somehow when Simi joined and we took over the dev part and we enrolled in what turned out to be like the experience of a lifetime, the Game of Stakes, we were not aware that this decision will bring us here today. We take pride in being winners of Game of Stakes and Cosmos Validator since Genesis, but as I also told before, we didn't know that this journey will end up with us being full-time validators, let's say, and making this one of our full-time jobs. We also take pride in the fact that we have a great track record and successfully completed like all the challenges, and there were so many until now. We don't have a huge voting power. We only have like 0.63% at this time. Position 35. The rewards that we get help us in sustaining our validation activity. Even though I might say that we believe in this project so much that we haven't even sold any of the rewards that we had so far.
That's cool.
And we are sustaining our operations from our own funds since the early beginning because we believe so much in the value of the atom that it will increase and it will accrue value that we haven't had it in us to even sell one atom, you know? It's like crazy. We just keep it there for prosperity. Regarding the plans, I mean, when we first started and we opened the mainnet, we thought that we will maintain the validator only for Cosmos Hub. And based on this premise, as time passed, we did not engage any other network testnets because we only have this small team and our time is so limited and our resources are, of course, limited as well. At the beginning, we just tried to validate for Cosmos Hub. But after a few months, we revised our decision. I might say this was like a personal and very personal choice. And we agreed to enter the region network testnet. Because their business is a business which supports environmental sustainability actions. And this is something which I relate to a lot. And I felt like I should participate. And after region, we had eMoney. And we believe in their efforts of providing a currency-backed token on blockchain, which is backed by collateral in forms of deposits and government bonds. And after that, we also had like some testnets. We joined Akash testnet, Desmos. And hopefully, as time will pass and we'll be able to grow our team, we'll also be able to choose other mainnets on which we'll like to participate. The staking decision doesn't come easily. It's done through an analyze of the team, project finality, validator business, economics, and also like personal note or impressions.
Who is the analytic in your team?
I believe it's a job that we all do at some point individually. For example, if someone from the team hears of a project, it makes like an analysis, presents it to the team, and then we give feedback and give our own, let's say, decision on the project. We don't have like a person who is dedicated to just making this decision. We try to make all decisions regarding the validator side, the entire team, and try to wait on everyone's vote before we decide in doing something. It's like baby steps for us now, because as I told you, resources are not very high at this moment. So we try to analyze this decision carefully in terms of cost, spending, and time, of course, which we allocate for each business.
You named quite a few things that you look at when you think about which chain to choose. What is the one core metric that makes you either say no or yes when you guys making a decision?
It's a mixture between what the project does what is his utility, and what is the team behind the project. I'm very interested in projects which have a real case use study, and also in projects which show that they have like a very good team that could sustain them. So it's a mix between these two, because now it's very hard to establish business economics from validator point of view.
Do you plan in the future to go and validate outside of Cosmos, like Polka or, I don't know, NewCypher, whatever, Ethereum 2.0, whatever?
Yeah, this is definitely something we have in mind. As I told you, it's more like a long-term plan that we will start to implement as after we will be able to increase the team. Because at this point, we are like maximum capacity in terms of time and resources. But this can definitely change once we will be able to hire more people inside the team that could take up on this new project.
Let's talk about your community involvement. First of all, before we get to that, in your own words, what does a community advocate do? And what is your role for Tendermint as a community advocate? But in your own words, not what they told you to say.
A community advocate is a person who advocates for the community.
I love it.
And who takes care of the community and listens to their needs, listens to what they have to say, take into account their desire, trying to implement them in terms of changes to the protocol or changes to the way we address things or the way we handle things. It also is a person who drives the community in a way or another by making sure to focus the community on the right track in terms of project to, let's say, milestones. And this is actually my job, and it is formed of so many things that are encapsulated in this role, let's say, or in this position, that can go from everything from making Today in Cosmos, handling the Twitter handles, announcing, making sure that announcements regarding events and everything reach our community, that the community is always aware of what's happening in the Cosmos ecosystem, takes care of the community in a way for it to remain engaged and also to attract new users to the community. Can go from everything from like creating videos, community videos, the one that we have done, from creating the newsletters that are also used by the community and making sure they are up to speed with what is going on in the Cosmos universe. So all of this, let's say activities, try to encapsulate a role that actually describes a person which, even though it's hired by, let's say, an external company, which is Tendermint, is actually a person within the community, because I was born in the community and I have known Cosmos through the community before I was actually hired by Tendermint. And this is also the case of the other community advocate we have, Josh Dojmos, who has a similar experience as mine. Both of us come from the community. Both of us developed and grew in the community. And then we were hired to, let's say, extend our job beyond what we were already doing.
I like what you said, that you were born in the community. I really like that term. I think I'm going to someday definitely remember and use it, fork it from you. I like that. But what is the most difficult part in your job?
Working with people which have different characters.
You could have just said working with people. That would have explained
no,
it.
I'm
joking. Sorry to interrupt.
Working with people which have like different characters, different opinions, different points of view. And when I mean people and when I mean working, I mean the community. They always reach out to me for different views on different subjects. Some of them agree to what we are doing. Some of them are not. Some of them have a certain opinion on what we should do. Others have a different opinion on how things should be handled, I mean, inside the community. And to try to mitigate this flow of behaviors and characters and try to make sure that all voices are heard, that all people have a word to say and somehow the decision around the community, that Every person gets a response to an action or to a question regarding something. This is like a difficult task because there are so many people in the community, and now voices are becoming louder and louder. So I try my best to keep up with everyone and to assure everyone that they are heard and that we are making the best that we can and that we are here for them and to support them. Even if that means taking some decisions sometimes which are not aligned with 100% of what every individual wants, because it's very hard to accommodate that. It's very hard to take a decision, whatever decision it is, to accommodate everyone. There will always be a party or someone who will not agree on your decision. And you have to accept that and to not take it personally. It's the advice I was giving just a few days ago to a community member who was upset that he was somehow blamed in a community chat on something. And he wrote me because he was so upset. And I told him, please don't take these things personally. These things happen. If I have an advice for you, my advice is to take it easy, understand that this is not personal, and understand that you have tried and you have done your best. But don't take it personally, because it's very hard to accommodate all these personalities and all these characters. There will always be a person who doesn't agree with you. And I learned it.
Imagine that you have your own secret and your own way how to deal with all that flow. Just take it easy, and maybe you have another one's secret recipe.
My secret recipe is, well, I'm very passionate about what I do. If I really start to think about it, it's always about passion. Because as I told you before, I had a passion for the banking industry all my life, until I discovered the blockchain world. And when I find something that I love doing, and in this case was Cosmos, I am literally unstoppable. I mean, I have this written on my forehead. I get these superpowers, I don't know how to explain them, that allow me to access these unlimited resources of energy. There is a joke inside my company, within my colleagues. They always ask me, Adriana, do you sleep? I mean, this is a question which they currently ask me, because I'm always on the chat. I'm always responding. It doesn't matter. It's like 4 a.m. in the morning, if it's like 6 a.m., if it's like 12 a.m. in the evening. It doesn't really matter. I'm always there. I don't know how I do it. I don't know how I gain all this energy and what is the resource, but I blame it on passion. For me to be able to express myself so freely is also a huge contributor to my self-esteem. And luckily this space and luckily this company that I am within allows me to do just this and gives me so much freedom and gives me so much open possibilities that I'm literally able to create everything. For me, this freedom is priceless.
That's cool. And just to anyone who's listening, I will definitely vouch for what Adriana says, because my public involvement with Cosmos, there was some private involvement behind the scenes, but started with Adriana, and definitely you helped me a lot. So, and I always come to you with questions that I've never yet not to receive an answer. So yeah, that is absolutely true. I definitely would vouch for that. Talking about passion, today in Cosmos, this is something that obviously, you know, your little baby, you know, that we have to talk about. So how did it start? And I have a lot of questions about it, but we don't have the 3.5 or 25 hours to talk. So I just let you tell you what you want to say about it.
I could literally speak about a day in Cosmos for hours. I don't think we have the space for it, but I'll try to make it short as much as I can. But I'm not a person who speaks a few words, so please bear with me. So how did it all start? It was after Game of Stakes ended, and everyone in the community was trying to, let's say, give back to the community in a way or another by creating a certain product or being that for the community through different actions and resources that they were putting for the community. This was actually why I started Day in Cosmos. I was driven by this passion to give back to the Cosmos community in a way or another. And since I wasn't like a genius coder or something, and I couldn't contribute in code related stuff, I said to use like all the skills that I have, which were in marketing, and the fact that I have this eye on of processing information and following up with information. I wanted to use the skill that I had to bring something useful to the space, because I was already spending like hours a day following with all the news. I was literally on every channel, not missing anything. And I said, well, since I'm already doing that and I'm already spending all these hours for myself, why not use all of this information, which I already read every day, and just put it in a format in which it will be useful for people. And this is how Today in Cosmos actually was born. It was last year, 29th of April. So we are 1 year.
One day late.
Thank you so much. No,
I am not late because I said happy birthday over a video, so I'm not late. No way.
It's amazing how Today in Cosmos has evolved over the last year, not years. It definitely feels like years if I start to think about it.
Sometimes when you make 25 tweets a day, it feels like a year. No, I'm joking.
You know, when we started, we have only one tweet. There was one Today in Cosmos, one tweet, and there were like three or four events. And then it started to grow, you know, like two tweets, three tweets, four.
What's the record?
17 tweets.
17. Was it you or Daniela who did 17?
There was a mixture between me and Daniela. Well, I believe it's actually like 18 tweets we had in this, I forgot, we had in December. You know, when we had the break and we did a recap in December, we had 18 tweets a day.
I think it was 18 or something like that. I remember translating it for a while. So, yeah.
It's like crazy because we have all these projects in the ecosystem that keep building and start to be more and more active. And they all produce so much information regarding what they're doing. And this is actually shown the thread of Today in Cosmos. And this is why the thread is continuously growing, because all these projects are continuously building. And this only shows like the strength of an ecosystem and how big the project, the Cosmos ecosystem, has come. So I'm really, really grateful. What was also a thing which I want to mention here is that when I first started and I was doing Today in Cosmos for like 2 weeks, I received a message from one of the validators in the Cosmos Hub that really empowered me and really gave me strength to continue what I was doing. The message was, 6 months of hardcore focus and alignment can put you like 5 years ahead of time. And don't underestimate the power of consistency and desire. You have what it takes to become the best that you can be. And I was like, oh my God, this is actually the empowerment that I needed to keep pushing and to keep doing what I was doing. And then after this message, also like all the validators and other community members and Tendermint employees and ICF employees really started to encourage me publicly and showing support for my work. That was actually the whole flame. It was the foundation of what I needed at that time to start and to launch Today in Cosmos and to keep pushing to this. I forgot to tell about the international community, but if you have...
Go on, tell us about it.
So we have this amazing international community. We have 50 international translators that work tirelessly every day to bring Cosmos news to the local communities in their native language. I cannot really believe how this turned out to be in terms of how the things started to roll. From the first time Daniela offered to do the Italian translation, we were something like 2nd of September. And by the time we were 6 months, we already had 9 international translators. And now we are like on 15. And thank you so much, Serej, for being one of them.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And I really appreciate it for being with us and for being part of the Today in Cosmos family, because this is true. We are a family and I appreciate every member from our community. I keep them very dear to my heart.
It does definitely feel like that you're doing it because you're passionate about it. You know, I think everyone who's, I'm not talking about the members because that's obvious. I'm talking about the people who are from the outside. Definitely when they see that, they can see that it's done with a passion. It's obvious. I don't know how to explain it, but you know, it's just obvious when you look at things and you see the person wants to do it or he's been pushed to do it. And this is not the case here. It's when you push to do it, it's the case when you want to do it. One question we do ask, I mean, I didn't ask you anything controversial. I still have a few questions before we finish, and maybe Anna does as well. I will ask a semi-controversial question here. Were there any haters for Today in Cosmos for your work? People said, oh my God, why are you doing this? Don't do that. I mean, I don't know. People wrote to you nasty messages, whatever.
I have never experienced anything negative related to Today in Cosmos. I hope people believe me that there is not one single message from at least one community member that told me that, I don't know, they don't like or they find the column annoying or something like that. So this never happens to me because, you know, in this industry, in a way or another, you stumble upon like different opinions from different people. And sometimes the argument becomes a little bit too spicy. But you have to understand that this is like a current evolution and disagreement leads to evolution and everything. And you have to accept it. Accept the things that you cannot change and understand that everything that happens in the industry is, it's a natural process and you cannot just please anyone. But to my surprise, this is not something which happened so far. And we have 1 year. So I really hope I will never experience this because being so passionate and so in love with what I do, I think I'll have a breakdown if someone tells me.
We'll sort it out. Don't worry, we'll sort it out if it happens.
But yeah, disagreement appear on different topics and different views. And sometimes, as I told, argument becomes a little bit too spicy and we have to cool down. This only happens because we are all here like passionate people. And when several passionate people meet in the same room, there is fire. And this is what happens sometimes. But it's okay.
Talking about the passion and the different people, it's not a secret that Cosmos is a very high technology project. So how many information you have to get from technical understanding? So do you need to understand technically some things and some points? Obviously, you already understand how it works basically. But how much time you need to spend to understand what is going on in technical field?
This is something which I'm working a lot every day to come closer and closer to understanding regarding what's going on in a more technical way from the engineer team and all the other teams which are working in the Cosmos. I'm not like a very technical person. So every time we have information which relates to technical in a way or another, I try to understand it and I try to filter it. And whenever I have questions or I need additional information, I also reach out to our engineer team and engineers outside our local team from Tendermint to try to understand that as much as possible. I believe this is something which I need to improve along the way and to become better and better at this, to be able to serve the community as much as possible. Even if I'm not a technical person, I want to be able to get that information for me to be able to further to the community whenever there is a chance for someone to ask a question, a more technical question. I would want to be the person who responds to every question related to everything. So I'm working really hard on it. Surprisingly, not something I expected to learn or to do in my life. But as I said before, passion opens a lot of gates and a lot of doors that you never thought you opened before.
That is so true. I like that you make this point as well about that passion opens a lot of gates. And it's true when you said when you have fire somewhere, things are born out of that fire. And again, when you're passionate, you started to learn things that you don't expect from you to learn. And talking about surprises. We could talk probably for hours, but we will have to wrap up. And this is one traditional question that it wasn't thought at the beginning, but it just became a tradition. We asked this question from everybody, and I think I want to ask you that as well. You said you learned quite a lot about blockchain and about technology because it's something that happened naturally. Is there any projects within the blockchain space, and let's not talk about Cosmos at all, because this is obvious, and not Bitcoin and Ethereum, because it's obvious as well. Is there any other projects that attract you or you think are interesting, or maybe the completely opposite? Maybe you think this particular project is something that I would never look at, you know, something like this.
I would go with a spot for new projects like Solana, Coda, Nervous, Keep, and New Cypher.
Interesting project.
Did I say Cello? And Cello.
And Cello as well, yeah. Are they pronounced Cello or Cello? I don't know. I have no clue what's the pronunciation.
I don't know either.
You said Solana at the beginning. A lot of people who I speak to, especially from the Cosmos community, mentioned Solana. Is there any reason for this or just because you like it?
Well, Solana offers something which I believe none of the current projects offer, like a rapid speed in which it broadcasts transactions. And for example, this feature can be implemented in real world scenarios, because what's missing now in terms of adoption is having a system that is able to finalize so many transactions, because we're talking about millions or hundreds of millions of transactions per second. If we think, for example, of service providers and enterprises, which need all those necessary tools to improve performance and downtime and operation costs. And the fact that Solana offers that, it's a very good candidate for this type of business solutions. And their model is designed in a way for this type of business approaches, like telecom and other service providers, where we're talking about like hundreds of thousands and millions of transactions per second, which currently none of the current projects in the ecosystem are able to do that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Maybe you have something that we don't ask you and you feel that it's important to mention.
Yeah, I had an interesting discussion with Gavin just yesterday about sustainability of the Cosmos Hub, because the way things are right now, you have the inflation from the rewards, we divert 2% to the community pool. Even though we don't find that as being a problem at this point, because we also have a lot of funds from the fundraiser, which are administrated by Interchain Foundation, and all the projects which are building in Cosmos apply to Interchain to get grants to be able to extend the Cosmos ecosystem. What I believe will happen is that at some point in time, thinking of the following years, this foundation money will end, because sustaining all these projects in the ecosystem. So that means that at that point in time, the community pool will actually remain the only source from which we'll be able to fund the continuous growing of the Cosmos ecosystem. So we have to think of a sustainability plan from this moment. I mean, we don't have to wait until the money runs out and to think what we will do now. We have to make a conscious decision now and to be able to make an effort to create a financial system, a sustainable financial system in place that is independent from the fundraising resources. And we should do that sooner rather than later, because we are at the beginning and we can shape the way, we will pave the way for future designs. And for example, if we increase the community pool now from 2% that we have to, I don't know, maybe 5% or 10%, that also means that community pool will start increasing at a more rapid speed, and we'll be able to raise money that will allow us in the future to build on the ecosystem and to sustain all these builders. In a way, validators like myself have to make a very conscious decision at this point and to understand that the inflation and the rewards are not only to sustain the validation operation that is currently happening right now, but they're also there to sustain the growth of ecosystem. And we should do that by deciding to increase the community pool and to divert some of the funds to that for a sustainable future.
It's very interesting that you mention it. This is something I'm going to ask your opinion here. Talking about the community pool and about sustainability, and I think this is a very, 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 very super, super important thing. Obviously, Cosmos is not just Cosmos Hub. Cosmos is a huge ecosystem, and the whole idea, I mean, we spoke about it, how this is what makes everyone fall in love with Cosmos, the idea that it can be the internet of blockchains. Right now, the community pool is only made out of atoms. Would you say that it makes sense in the future to build up this community pool, not just with atoms, but with tokens of the projects that are building on Cosmos? So, for example, it could be Cyber, Akash, Terra, I don't know, whatever, any of the other projects. Would you say that it makes any sense? Because that kind of increases the chances to make all of the projects altogether more sustainable in the future.
Well, the way I envision it right now is that each zone in the Cosmos ecosystem will have its own community pool. And its own community pool will be funded to the token of the current zone. So, for example, if we have all these zones in the Cosmos ecosystem, each zone will have a community pool, and each pool will have a certain number of tokens which represent the token of the zone. It's very hard to put all these tokens in one basket, right? And to have in one basket also like several tokens. Because once the decision of funding comes, if you put them all in a basket, you should create like a separate basket. Because if you put them in a basket which is on the Cosmos Hub, that means that delegators of the Cosmos Hub will decide on which projects to fund, and they will have more interest in voting on projects which are building on the Cosmos Hub and to develop the Cosmos Hub rather than other projects. So I don't know if the current community pool accepts also tokens, at least not now.
Right. I'm not sure if it's possible tech. This is just like fantasy, you know.
My fantasy is different. My fantasy is to create an independent community pool which acts like an individual zone, in which each zone will send part of the tokens, and it will create what you have envisioned as this huge basket of tokens. And that huge basket of tokens will be decided by the contribution of each zone inside the basket and by vote. And that basket can actually fund projects which are within the whole Cosmos ecosystem, because all zones have put their tokens inside that basket. This is something which I envision in terms of how we can create a common basket, like a common community pool, from which all Cosmos projects can make a proposal and apply for funding. If you start to think about it, it's actually putting Interchain Foundation now, right, on the blockchain. Because this is actually what Interchain Foundation does right now. It has a pool of money from the Cosmos fundraiser, and it funds all these projects within the Cosmos ecosystem, not only on the Cosmos Hub. But those money will end at some point. So that means that with this, let's say, zone that we create, we will be able to fund and to replace some sort of Interchain funding and put it on the blockchain for to be more traceable, more easy to follow, more transparent. Everyone will have access to how like resources are spent, which is why we're actually doing blockchain. So having a zone for that in our ecosystem makes perfect sense for me.
That's a great answer. That's probably what I have in my mind as well. Right. I think it was amazing to have you. And really, I have like 20 or 30 other questions. We're going to wrap up, but it's been really great talking to you. And I just want to thank you for all the job that you're doing for the community. It is really important. This stage where it's still a very young system, I think your job is, you might not see it, but you are actually the glue that is holding a lot of the community together. And, you know, this is really important in my opinion.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.